From the Altoona Marine Corps Air Station, this is Marine Staff Sergeant Bob Vandewalker interviewing Staff Sergeant John Barron. John, to start things off, would you please tell me when you went to Vietnam and how long you served there?
Well, I went to Vietnam September the 20th of 1964, and approximately down there about 4 months. Got relieved, went back into the Philippines, from there into the States January the 4th of 65.
You were there last Christmas there, right, John?
Yes, I was.
What kind of a Christmas did you and the troops have last Christmas?
Well, we started out, those things were pretty quiet, and then from there, as we had alert, and then we went on an operation against CO-159 in the Phuc Chau Valley in Quantin Province.
Now, while we're talking about last Christmas, what is your feeling on this 12-hour bit that they're trying to ask the United States to go into this year? Did they have this last year?
Well, they had the truce last year, when Christmas. And also they had one on the Vietnamese the Tet New Year. And the both times is the whenever the VC claimed that they was given this truce in order the Vietnamese troops to have safe conduct to go throughout all the provinces to their homes. In the meantime, they used this as a lever to attack some critical area and try to bring it under the VC controls.
After these people got home, you mean?
Well, after the people got home, plus they used this as a lever in order to thin the critical areas out that's been patrolled and secured previously.
So there is a motive behind their ideas of this 12-hour truce.
Definitely there is. I feel there is.
Do you feel they would do the same thing this year after seeing Ben over last year?
I think they would use this as a lever, and they're going to continue using this lever.
John, what was your job over there in Vietnam?
Well, my job was a light infantry unit. As you were a light infantry weapons unit advisor.
In other words, you advised the Vietnamese?
Yes, sir, in the weapons.
You did not work with the American troops at all then?
No, sir.
Do you feel that the Vietnamese over there, when you were working with them, understood what we were trying to do in Vietnam?
Well, I believe the Vietnamese troops did understand. If they got the proper leadership, the proper training, and the proper equipment, I think they can take this war under control and do it themselves.
Let's take a little time, though, you think?
Well, I think it's going to take many years.
In your own opinion, what is the problems over there as far as the length of this war? What's all involved in this? Terrain? Many, many things, is there?
Well, I feel what's happening right now, it's definitely on the war is going to be conducted on small unit tactics. And the disadvantage that we have over there, and what I've been talking to these other fellows coming back, is the terrain is something that we have never been involved in before. The only terrain that's matched it was the Korean War. And then also, it's the is in order to go in there and trying to take this area under control and pacify it, first thing you have to do, you have to know the country, you have to know the culture of the individual people, you have to know what their traditions are, and plus you have to know their language, even a working knowledge of the language. Plus, you must have an interpreter to go with you in order to interpret certain things that you see along the trails, which is civilians, or the way the bush is laid out, and also the just the general lay of the ground.
Now, while you work with the Vietnamese people, did you get to understand them pretty well? Could you talk to them? Did you learn any of the language?
No, I didn't learn the language in depth. But I learned what was some of the indications that they had. They had a problem in there. And the problem was that I felt is that they resented you being there is because is the attitude that the French established while they were over there. So I know that from my own personal experience, when I went into the village there on a clearing operation, is they thought that we were French troops. This is how far back they were in the woods.
In other words, because of education, this is a real big problem.
Well, lack of education is 90% of the whole thing. Over there, the way it was set up there, is the schools would be open from 6 o'clock in the morning up to 9, 10 o'clock at night. All right, the boy would be able to go to school only 2 hours a day. The teacher works in relays. So I feel that the lack of education is one of the biggest problems over there right now. They need more schools, more teachers.
What's your feeling on the bullet war and the human relation war over there, as far as winning or losing this war?
Well, the bullet relation war can go on and on and on. Is that in order to win the country, you'll have to go out there and do everybody is in for one thing, is that you don't know who the VC is. He can be the housemaid, he can be the laborer, he can be the farmer, you don't know. But far as is the pacification, if you have a good pacification team, go in into a village and win these people over to your side and let them gain your trust, I think that this is the human factor is going to be 90% of winning that war.
And we do this by, how would we do this in your own?
Well, for one thing is the way I think it should be done is that there should be well-picked teams. First, send your infantry in or whoever you want to be designated and search and clear the area completely by sectors. And then immediately when a sector is cleared, is get your specialized team pacifiers, have them go into this area here and start pacifying these here people by putting up a school and getting a teacher in there who speaks the language. And I'm not talking about a Vietnamese. Get a foreign teacher in there who can be recognized as a foreigner. In this way, the people can gain trust by observing the foreigner, the way he behaves himself, and that he's willing to live with the people and just generally be accepted by the people.
Now, you have a pretty good knowledge of this simply because you were away from everything. You were actually in the villages working. Is this what?
Yes, I have. I have been in many villages over there. And what I've seen at the villages, they're just generally run down, and there's nobody taking care of them. The VC is not taking care of the people, and the Vietnamese troops come in and are still not taking care of them.
Well, because the Vietnamese do not have any more money or anything to take care of it. We're actually the only people that have any source of taking care of these people. Is this correct?
Well, I don't know about the money angle of it.
No, I meant clothes. I'm talking about clothes, soap, and anything else like this respect. Medical things.
Well, I'm not talking about the clothes. It's because the man over there had the only clothes he has was on his back. But I mean, it's like I says, the education. If you get in there, if you can educate these people, if you can educate them enough, they can make their own clothes and build their houses and get your sanitation team in there clearing up, get your medical teams in there, and get good agricultural experts in there, and then start pacifying these people by districts or by sectors, whatever they want to call it.
Well, now, in the short time you were in there, did they get in the habit of practicing some... So you lived there, how'd you live, in a tent? Or?
I lived in a Vietnamese hut.
Now, did they practice any sanitation that you... They saw you shave, which they probably never saw anybody do. Were they curious about a lot of things that you did as far as just taking care of yourself, your laundry and so forth?
Well, in the area that I've been in, outside of this one city, right adjacent to province headquarters... I was with a battalion. The amount of battalion, whenever they would decide to defecate, they defecate out in the field. After 3 days of this, the battalion defecated out in the field and it gets kind of smelly. So we got the battalion commander and we got together with him, had a conference, and told him to have each company dig a sled trench. And far as I know, as far as what I observe, this is the first time they did something like this.
In other words, sanitation is another major problem.
Sanitation is bad over there. Matter of fact, I don't think there's anything such as sanitation.
And some of these people have probably never seen a doctor in a lifetime, have they?
This is very true. I feel there's no more than 10 doctors in throughout the whole Vietnam country.
Now, you work with the Vietnamese soldier. What is your opinion of the Vietnamese soldier?
Well, I think my personal opinion about the Vietnamese soldier, I think he's outstanding, considering the time that he's been fighting this war, the type of equipment he has, and the type of training and leadership. I think he's holding up his own.
Do the people in this particular villages that you were at, do they know what's going on in the other part of the country, or are they sort of way out by themselves?
Well, I doubt that very much. It's for one thing, it's a lack of communications. There's one in particular, this Phuc Chau Valley there, is like I said before, is that they thought we was the Frenchmen. The Frenchmen out there in 1954. And there's no way, no means whatsoever is to get in there and establish a certain amount of communications because, like it is, the VC has everything blocked and have these people hemmed in. And I feel that if they can get the communications in there, even by planes flying over and broadcasting certain messages over, or even sending in broadcasting teams and playing records and showing them this is what's happening outside, even not in Saigon, but we'll say Phuc-Chao Valley is about 15 kilometers away from Tam Kỳ. Just tell the people, look, this is what's going on in Tam Kỳ. This is what has been accomplished.
Do you think the military forces in the United States should be taught some of this civil affairs bit of adjusting? We have fighting. We're fighting men, but what's your feeling about going in there and trying to help these people, too?
Well, we've been fighters for a long, long time now, ever since the Second World War over in the Asia part of the world. And I feel that we know how to fight. We know our small unit tactics. We know how to employ them. But we have never, far as I know, had any lectures on civic action. Civic action was going on during the Second World War and it's going on during the Korean War. And I think right now is civic action is one of the biggest factors in South Vietnam.
We've had civic action, which was a necessary program for every war we've been in. They've had it when we took over cities in Europe, Tokyo. So civic action is very, very important in Vietnam then.
Definitely it is.
Sergeant Barron, what is your job here at El Toro?
Well, I'm an instructor in the Marine Corps Air Station Basic Training Program.
Do you feel there's any parts of our training that should be changed or improved to adjust to the Vietnam War?
Well, I feel that there's should be a bigger emphasis placed on the Civic Action Program, the counter-guerrilla operations, our side of view, and also the side of view that stemmed all the way from China onto Ho Chi Minh. I think these points should be emphasized more than having something that's, for instance, the interior guard, guard duty, sanitation and hygiene, and general military type subjects. We should go on a technical level and teach these technical levels.
In other words, you think that the young Marine would like to know and should know about how this government is set up over in Vietnam, and so we know what the heck we're doing over there?
Well, I think definitely it should be geared toward Vietnam right now.
Then along this same line, then, Sergeant Baird, you feel we should be taught the history of Vietnam.
Yes.
In other words, could you sort of explain some of your knowledge of how this is set up, Vietnam itself?
Well, when I got my orders to go to Vietnam last year in September, I had no idea whatsoever as to what was happening down there. But I did have a working knowledge of the country and some of the traditions and cultures as previously before that. I got myself enrolled in this the United States Army Special Forces course, and also the special warfare course pertaining to counterinsurgency. And this right here helped me out quite a bit. But for a good example is this, is that how many people would you, that you would stop in the military and ask them, is how many provinces of Vietnam? He has no idea whatsoever. And ask him, then you can explain to him that the East Province has a province headquarters. Then his province headquarters is just the same as a state capital. In each state capital, each state, you have your counties, townships, your boroughs and cities. And your provinces have the same thing. They have a province headquarters. They have the sectors, the subsectors, and those are even broken down into smaller boroughs or cities, whatever you want to call it. And each one of them are controlled by a village chief.
Oh, in other words, the village chief is like a mayor of this particular village.
He definitely is.
And then he has his own officials, too.
Yes, he has.
Do you feel that going to these schools you really educated you when you got over there? You had a better working knowledge of it?
Well, I think I had a very good working knowledge of the country after I completed this information course, plus the course that I had when I got in Saigon. We went to 14-day school down there, and they gave us the brief outline on the advisory effort over there, plus was geared to our part and also to the South Vietnamese part.
In other words, your feeling on this is that if, rather than going out and doing an hour of drill, marching, that if you spend an hour into teaching these young Marines the education of history over there, that we've accomplished a little bit more.
Well, I think we accomplished a lot if we can incorporate more history of South Vietnam with the trooper. I think we can do quite a bit.
What do you feel about your own particular role over there? When I say this, I mean, do you feel that you saw some changes, that you accomplished what you went over to do in your particular
role? Well, my own personal opinion on this, again, is I feel that I was very important. It's because the Commandant and Marine Corps had enough trust in giving me a set of PCS orders and sending me as his representative into South Vietnam and yet as an infantry unit advisor. And that time when I went in there, I was only one man, one Marine. We had one Australian and two Army. But I was the only Marine there, and everything that I did, my actions, my behavior, would reflect upon the Combat Marine Corps and also the whole Marine Corps effort. So therefore, I feel that I was very important.
Now, how about when you were relieved? Were you relieved over there by another staff NCO, or how did it work?
No, I was relieved by Sergeant Army E5.
Now, did you have a critique with this particular man when he relieved you? This was not done on a day basis, was it? How was this set up?
Well, it was done immediately. I flew out on the Friday morning out of our area, and the man come in on Tuesday of the following week. We have never, I seen him once in denying, but as far as having any association with him and any anything to do with him whatsoever, is I don't even know him, man, just by face.
But don't you feel that it would have been better if they could have sent him in at least a month or 3 weeks where you could take him
around? Well,
or what is your feeling on this?
No, it's because I understand all the Army personnel who's assigned to Vietnam goes through a counterinsurgency course in Fort Bragg, North Carolina. And I feel, and he has the working knowledge of what goes on in Vietnam. But now, as a Marine there, as it goes down as advisor, he has no knowledge whatsoever. He's picked right out of the unit and said, here's your PCS orders. You are going to Vietnam as an advisor. You have no idea whatsoever. And I feel before a Marine is given these orders, he should be given TAD orders, go to Fort Bragg, North Carolina, go through a counterinsurgency course, and then immediately upon graduation, send him right into Vietnam.
Sergeant Barron, would you go back to Vietnam if the choice was your own?
Well, I would definitely go back to Vietnam. As my intentions are, get off the subject a little bit, is that the way I feel toward Vietnam and is what can be accomplished there is that I do to retire here in about 3 months if I can get out. And I tend to go over there as a civilian and try to go into one of the 8 programs. In order to do something, what, I don't know, but I feel that my services could be used. And as far as it's going to Vietnam, like I said before, I go right now as an advisor, is because I feel that there is so much over there to do. I'm not too much concerned about the older generation, but you have little boys over there, little girls right now, have nothing to do whatsoever. Go to school 2 hours a day, and from there's nothing. They sit in their hamlets and do nothing whatsoever. So far as I know, it's that they're just existing day to day.
Well, this is where the program is going to be a long, drawn-out program because we have to set schools up and educate these kids. It's pretty rough. It's going to be a long program, you feel?
Well, all the money has gone into Vietnam. It's I can't understand why, as we can't get teachers from these other countries. We'll say Japan, we'll say Okinawa, Korea, Guam, Philippines, and the Malaysia countries is get teachers, recruit teachers, and put them into a hamlet. Put them into one of these hamlets who's controlled by government forces and establish their own schools. And by utilizing the Oriental over there, is put them into South Vietnam, that has changed from the better way of life into the primitive life. It's not going to be so hard of a hardship upon him, and he'll be able to adjust much better than put a Caucasian over there.
Well, is it necessary to protect these people, though, where the Viet Cong might come in and kill them or something?
Well, it definitely is. I feel it's a village under government control. It has to be fortified, trenches dug around it. You have to recruit your own security force, put them in there, arm them. These security force personnel have to be trained and have to act as out guards when the villagers go out and harvest the rice or go to the markets. And whatever has to be done in a case such as that.
Another important question, Sergeant Barron. Do you feel that our role in Vietnam is necessary?
Well, I think definitely it is because the Path of Lao, they gained, I'm not saying all of the control of Laos and Cambodia. So now if they gain control of South Vietnam, then there's nothing stopping them from going over into Thailand, and from Thailand over into Philippines and reactivating the Hucks again.
In other words, projected thinking 100, maybe 100 years or less, we'd be fighting right on our shore. Is that right?
Well, I think eventually they would. They would move right over here to the coast.
John, you got two citations in Vietnam. What were they?
Well, one citation was a Bronze Star with Combat V.
And what did you get this for?
Well, got this displaying the smoke signal on our battalion front to keep us from getting strafed.
Now, how about the other citation?
Well, the other one is I was with Number 4 Company going into Phuc Chau Valley where the VC made a morning assault on Hill 159. And this right here, it's to this same day, I feel it was a propaganda move. Is because 2 years previously, the VC was pushed out of this valley in Phuc Chau Valley in Quang Tien Province outside of Tam Kỳ. It's a rice belt. It's a valley. It's must be about a 20 square mile area, and there's nothing but choice rices grown in this area. And the VC, when they got pushed out, they told the people is that we would be back, and we would be back to take this here valley before the Vietnamese New Year of 1965. Well, so they kept their word. They come in there one morning about 3 o'clock, and they made assault upon his hill and overrun it completely. And that same time we moved out, and at this time we're moving out, we engaged the enemy across a river, and our company there more or less was in a point of it. And the advisors who were there is got decorated for it.
And we're talking that you were working with the Vietnam Army at all times.
Yes, right? I was.
Sergeant Barron, how has the Vietnam involvement in the Vietnam War affected you personally?
Well, my outlook over toward the Vietnam War is something that's going to have to be accomplished. And I feel that it's going to have to be done more or less on a personal basis. As an individual been over there, he's seen what was happening, what is happening to the civilians, kind of the Viet Cong, the way the Viet Cong is gaining control of these civilians. I feel that, as personally, is that I would definitely, like I said before, go back in order to establish certain points that are still not clear. A good example here that it was never told me directly, but I know is that while we were living in this one Vietnamese hut, we had a soldier who was part of the Civil Guard from Tam Kỳ. This soldier was a guard at the province headquarters power station. So we alerted one night, we went on operation, and we come back the next day. And this individual soldier, picked out of many soldiers in the town of Tam Kỳ, got assassinated. The question is why? I feel the VC assassinated this soldier is because he gave his house to the American advisors and also to the Vietnamese troops, the battalion staff.
Were the Viet Cong fussy about who they did kill? I mean, did they kill children and women, intentionally or unintentionally?
Well, I had reports. We had ISIM reports that would come through from Da Nang, and it stated the VC did kill Vietnamese chiefs, kidnap them, and decapitate them, left their heads on fence posts such as this. I feel the VC is doing this only to an area that has been secured, pacified.
In other words, they're using the
fear. And under government control.
They're using the fear program.
Yes, they're using the fear program, going into these villages and showing the villages, look, your village has been pacified, you have government troops in here, control, under government control, but yet we are strong, we can do this, we can do that. So what they'll do, they'll kidnap the village chief, and 9 chances out of 10 that he is an army official anyway.
Well, Sergeant Barron, I want to thank you very much for talking to me today, and I certainly want to wish you a lot of luck in future endeavors in the Marine Corps.
All right.